Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to have you with us. Hump Day edition of the show. Our question of the day, which is now posted on ESPN Upstate, whom ultimately will leave Clemson for another job first? I'm already getting some, listen, I'm already, and you would expect this, I'm already getting some Clemson homers, Lonzo, saying neither. Folks, you realize that Brent Venables is going to want to be a head coach at some point, right? At some point. Matt Connelly says it's going to happen about 5 years from now. I say it's going to happen within the next 3 years. Dabo Swinney is on record as saying the day they pay college athletes is the day he looks to leave. Don't you think that's going to happen now sooner rather than later? Have you listened to Dabo Swinney's comments about one day coaching in the NFL? It's not exactly a denial. And then you consider the average duration of dynasties in college football. They last 10 years. Clemson is in year 8. It's just, you know, history shows that it's not going to last forever. And I'm not trying to kill your parade. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I'm just saying, look, there will be a time when this comes to an end. There in terms of the coach, the head coach, the coordinators, so on and so forth, Dabo Swinney has a brand new deal, right? Brent Venables loves being at Clemson. Who do you think leaves first? When all things are considered, 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. Okay. I was looking at this today because ESPN has released its football power index. Everybody's got a list. Everybody's got a ranking system, right? And ESPN's Football Power Index loves the team of South Carolina. Loves them. They're the number 18 team. They're the number 18 team in America in ESPN's Football Power Index. So, Mark Ryan, why am I not seeing South Carolina in any of the top 25 magazines? Why are they not ranked in the top 25? It's all because of the schedule, right? In terms of the caliber of the team itself, the computer models from ESPN say the Gamecocks are the 18th best team in America. But here's where it gets interesting. Then you look at the schedule and you look at the projected win total for South Carolina, and South Carolina's projected out of 12 games to win exactly 6.1 games. Their projected record is 6.1 wins and 5.9 losses. And just as we've been saying year after year, it almost seems like everybody and their mother is picking the Gamecocks to be 6-6. And in a season where going 6-6 would really be saying something, and in a season where going 6-6 and making a bowl game would in some circles be viewed as an accomplishment. But I say the hell with that, Gamecocks fans. Want more and expect more of your program. I think you can go 8-4 this year. I think that's a good goal, and that is my prediction as to what's going to take place. So ESPN and these computer models, and look, stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all. Sadly, not all. But the computer model has given you kind of the numbers for each and every game on South Carolina's schedule. Okay? They've given you the numbers. They've broken it down. And South Carolina is the favorite in all of 5 games next year. Projected to win 6 games because of the number of games that they're underdogs. You know, the odds say that, okay, you'll win one of those games that you're an underdog in. You'll be able to pull off at least one of them. But underdogs in 7 out of 12 games, let's be real. It doesn't completely bode well here. Why am I bullish on South Carolina? Because I believe that the evaluation of this team is very close to where ESPN says they are in terms of talent. I think they are a top 20 team in college football. I think Jake Bentley is poised to have the year that you Gamecocks fans have been hoping and praying that he has the entire time he's been there. More touchdown passes, fewer boneheaded decisions, fewer turnovers. Lonzo went on these airwaves and said, Will Muschamp should be fired. I'm Lonzo Reitzel, and I approve this message. Went on these airwaves and said that, right? And he says it's because South Carolina doesn't know how to tackle. Well, now Will Muschamp gets back a lot of his injured mates on the the defensive line, in the secondary, in the linebacker core. And that defense, I think, this year could be significantly improved, could be significantly better. So what I'm going to do right now is I am going to share with you my confidence rankings for South Carolina's schedule, okay? In terms of my most confident win and loss, okay? My most confident wins and losses, and to my least confident wins and losses, okay? So there you go. And I'm going to give you as well the percentage chance that ESPN FBI says that Clemson has of winning each and every game on this schedule, all right? If you can't tell, folks, I am full in college football mode now, man. I am all fired up. Got my media copy of Phil Steele's college football preview. I've been reading it. I'm learning what all of his little abbreviations mean. Phil Steele joined us on the show the week before last. I'm in full geek mode right now. Lonzo, you do the geek on comic books and video games. I'm in geek mode right now in college football, man. I can't help myself, brother. I'm in geek mode. It is what it is. And it's a little early.
I mean, you know, you got a chance of burning out before the season even gets here.
That's happened before. That's happened previously. I believe that South Carolina in a lot of these projections is getting disrespected. I really do. For starters, they've got, you know, South Carolina plays Tennessee. The Football Power Index has Tennessee as the 15th best team in the country. Since when? When's the last time Tennessee was respectable in the slightest? I've been hearing about this every year. Remember Clemson used to be that team? Every year you would hear it was going to be their year, and then for like 5 years it never was. And then all of a sudden Dabo Swinney got them over the hump, and now they've been there each and every year. But Clemson was that team that you said, yeah, really, I'll believe it when I see it. Every year that, you know, top 10 in the magazines and everyone's saying why. This year it's Tennessee for me, man. I mean, Phil Steele has got them highly ranked, and then ESPN's Football Power Index has them number 15. I just don't get it. I just don't see it. So here we go. My confidence rankings in South Carolina's schedule. From most likely win to least likely win. Here we go. Number one for me, Charleston Southern. ESPN Football Power Index says 99.3% chance of a win. I say easy win. Number two for me, and here's the first of a few surprises for you. Number two for me is North Carolina. 77% chance of a South Carolina win. Why? First game of the year. Don't want to lose to your state rival to the North. Want to prove that you're back. Wants to so motivated, so pumped up. No injuries yet. Just a much better roster for the South Carolina Gamecocks. That's confidence level number two for me. Confidence level number three for me on the South Carolina Gamecocks. Another surprise for you. Ready for this? Kentucky. Have lost to Kentucky 5 times in a row. Football Power Index says you have a 74% chance of beating them. I'm third most confident you win that game. You're a better team. Kentucky takes a step back this year. Jake Bentley's a senior. All the injuries have now healed. You're extremely motivated. You get Kentucky at home. South Carolina's winning that game. South Carolina's beating Kentucky this year. Third most confident in that particular game. Number four for me is Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's an improved team. They play good defense. I get it. Derek Mason is kind of on the fringe as to whether he's on the hot seat at Vanderbilt at all. He's not going to get them over the hump there. Vanderbilt doesn't make a bowl game this season. They've got a great running back, but the reality is at home, South Carolina, 77% chance of winning. They win that game. Number five for me is a tricky game. It's Appalachian State. I don't like Appalachian State on anybody's schedule. Appalachian State, Diesel's alma mater, producer of Straight Up with Sturge, you don't want to see them on your schedule. And you certainly don't want to see them on your schedule where SEC teams normally put cupcake teams. Appalachian State isn't a cupcake team. They're the best team in the Sun Belt, all right? And that's a team almost beat Tennessee. You'll never forget when they beat top five Michigan as an FCS school. They're tricky. You could find yourself in one of those 24-17 games late in the third quarter. I think, obviously, South Carolina wins that game. They've got to win that game. But my confidence level for that game, South Carolina, is only number five. Number six for me. Again, told you, I'm not buying it at Tennessee. But I'm more confident that they beat Charleston Southern, UNC, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and App State. I'm more confident at Tennessee, not an easy game. But the power index gives South Carolina only a 37% chance of winning at Tennessee. What the hell is that? Since when? Since when? We do remember that South Carolina was giving Clemson all they could handle for the first half of that game this past season, right? We do forget that we haven't forgotten that Tennessee is the joke of all jokes last year, right? That Jeremy Pruitt there has done nothing to prove that they're real. Look, South Carolina beats Tennessee. They go there, they win, they're the better team. I'm not confident in Tennessee's quarterback position. Guarantano, not sold in the head coach. South Carolina's a better program, they're a better team. Tennessee's number 15 in the power rankings here, in the football power index. It's a total joke. So halfway through the schedule, how am I doing? From most confident to least confident win, Charleston Southern, North Carolina, Kentucky number 3, Vanderbilt number 4, App State number 5, Tennessee number 6. All right, halfway through the schedule. Again, South Carolina is only a favorite in 5 games this year. They're only a favorite in against North Carolina, Charleston Southern, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Appalachian State. I'm not buying it. Number 7 most confident game for me at Missouri. Kelly Bryant with Missouri. The Tigers have the easiest schedule you've ever seen. It rivals Miami's schedule. Almost as easy as Clemson's schedule, and Clemson scheduled 2 SEC teams. I mean, it's a very, very easy schedule for Missouri this year. I think South Carolina goes to Missouri, and I think South Carolina is able to get a win. That's confidence level number 7 for me. So in my I have this also divided into tiers, right? In terms of comfortable South Carolina wins. I have Charleston Southern, UNC, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky in terms of comfortable South Carolina wins. I have App State, Tennessee, and Missouri in the you're winning, but it's a tricky game category. Okay? You're going to win, but it might not be easy. Okay? Then I have what I believe to be games that South Carolina is capable of winning, but they're not going to be favored in. Confidence level 8 and 9. Number 8 is Florida, and it pains me. But I looked at Florida's schedule, Alonzo, and South Carolina gets Florida after they've played Auburn and Georgia, the third week after they've played Auburn and Georgia. So you play top 10 Auburn, you play top 3 Georgia, and then when the whole team is beaten up, guess what you then get to do? Go. It's tough for kids to get up for 3 games in 3 days. You got it in 3 weeks, 3 games in 3 weeks. You go to South Carolina, the letdown game after you've played Auburn and Georgia in consecutive weeks as a Florida Gator. And that is set up to be a trap game for Florida, a game where they're beat up, a game where they're licking their wounds. The Football Power Index gives South Carolina a 42% chance of winning that. I think it could happen. Next up for me, I have Texas A&M at Texas A&M. Brutally tough game, but South Carolina played the Aggies very competitive last year. I don't see why they couldn't also do the same thing this year. And then here's where I shock you, because I made the prediction when I auditioned for the job here. I said South Carolina beats Clemson this year. The most difficult game on Clemson's schedule per the Football Power Index is guess who? South Carolina. It is the only one that they have under an 85% chance of winning. It's the most difficult game on Clemson's schedule. That's why I've been saying for South Carolina fans, Manny Robinson of the Greenville News said this as well, for South Carolina fans to say that Clemson doesn't play anybody is an insult to yourselves. You know, honor that game because that's going to be a tricky game for Clemson. I have a bet with Josh Phillips. I get South Carolina in 15 points, and I feel great about it. Fantastic about it. That's going to be a tricky contest. Clemson is not the game I'm least confident in on South Carolina's schedule. Rivalry game, home game, Jake Bentley's a senior, more talent than Clemson expects. Listen, I think South Carolina gives the Tigers a game in that one. Confidence level number 10. And then you have the games that South Carolina is just not going to win. There is no scenario by which South Carolina pulls an upset in either of these two games. Number 11, hosting Alabama, September 14th, too early in the season. South Carolina is not going to be ready. You hope they can keep it competitive. You realize they probably won't. And then the most unwinnable game on South Carolina's schedule to me is at Georgia. They're coming off a bye, which is a feather in South Carolina's cap, but it's at Georgia. The Georgia game has not boded well, has not bode well for South Carolina the last few years. And this year is going to be another example of that. It's a scheduled loss, folks. At Georgia, you take your lickings. All right. A lot of these other difficult games, though, Clemson at home, Alabama at home, Florida at home, Texas A&M on the road, but they may not be fully there yet. At Georgia is the most difficult game on the schedule, to me, my opinion. 20% chance South Carolina wins. So, to recap, my confidence rankings on South Carolina's schedule. Charleston Southern 1, UNC 2, Kentucky 3, Vanderbilt 4, Appalachian State 5, Tennessee 6, Missouri 7, Florida 8, Texas A&M 9, Clemson 10, Alabama 11, and Georgia 12. There you go. The analysis of South Carolina's schedule. Agreements, disagreements. Your thoughts, your opinions, welcome. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Up next, you are sure to feel a reaction by what we discuss in the next segment, either positive or negative, and it is sure to be strong. We'll get to that right on the flip side of this. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Lonzo, thoughts on my my South Carolina schedule analysis there. I think I'm more optimistic than most. I gave you my confidence rankings. I have Charleston Southern, UNC, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky as in my sure wins category. I have App State, Tennessee, Missouri in my tricky, but they're going to win them category. Florida and Texas A&M, to me, I have as possibilities in terms of win. Clemson is perhaps unlikely, but not out of the question, especially considering it's a rivalry game. And Alabama and Georgia, I think, are losses, surefire losses for the South Carolina Gamecocks. How'd I do?
I agree with you with Alabama and Georgia, for sure. And Clemson should never really be out of the realm of possibility because of the emotion involved in the game. And we saw what they did last year, and we saw that extra touchdown that Dabo put on just to make it look like it was a little more distant than what it was.
56-35. It looked.
They're going to remember that touchdown.
49-35. If you're within one of those first digits, right, 4 versus 3, 49-35. That was closer than Dabo wanted it to be. They run up the score. They win by 3 touchdowns. You're at South Carolina. South Carolina's got their defensive players back. ESPN says they're a top 20 program in all of college football. I think it's competitive.
The one problem is with this brutal schedule, that's the last game of the season as far as regular season goes, and they're going to probably be pretty beat up.
Well, pretty beat up, yes. The game before Clemson is Texas A&M, but you have a bye week between Texas A&M and Clemson there. By the way, our question of the day doesn't seem to be much of a question of the day. Who ultimately will leave Clemson for another job first, Brent Venables or Dabo Swinney? Because, folks, nothing lasts forever. We've got to understand and realize that 89% say Brent Venables leaves first. Jeremy Smith says neither. Jeremy, you are smoking some of the good stuff, my friend. I'll have one of what
Here's
you're having.
Here's the thing, the neither thing, unless they both retire at the same time, or they get fired, one of them is probably going to leave.
Sure. Absolutely. And both of them, I mean, so when people say Dabo's a Clemson lifer, what they're saying is he's not ever going to have another football job than that. Folks, listen, he's committed to Clemson. There's no doubt about that, but I think it's highly unlikely that Brent Venables will not ever have another football job. And I think if gun to my head, I think it's likely that at some point Dabo Swinney will have another job too. Juan Barker Raboyo says Dabo's a Clemson lifer. I imagine he'll become Clemson's Bobby Bowden or Frank Beamer. Brent has had opportunities to come up that he's denied, but at some point he will want to use his experience to head a program. Jay says, I'd imagine they're both around for a while, especially with sons for both men still coming through the program. Dabo's a lifer. You hear this theme? Like, if he ever leaves there, man, it's gonna be the darkest day in these people's lives. Dabo's a lifer, so I guess the answer is Coach V, even if I do believe any chance of that is still 4 to 6 years away. Jay, I would say any chance of that depends on the jobs that are opened. And I think, do you not think he would leave to be head coach of Auburn, head coach of Florida State, head coach of Virginia Tech, perhaps Oklahoma State, Ole Miss? Those are all good jobs. Those are all jobs with coaches on the hot seat, man. They are. They're all on the hot seat. So be that as it may, that's my thought. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. A check on the text line. Mark, I think it'll be much closer than most think in the Bama and Clemson games. I don't like traveling to Athens. Agree with you on that. I'm going 7 or 8 wins. I'm going 8 wins for South Carolina this year. I'm going 8. I realize some of you think I'm nuts, but I think this is a really talented team with great facilities, improved talent on the lines, improved depth, right? By the way, the KPAC tweets in, have you Googled sports radio hosts in the hot seat? Because as far as Clemson fans go, you're now sitting at number one. Love it. Absolutely love it. All right. I do want to get to this. Stephen A. Smith, and by the way, the chef at the Real S117 says everyone is sleeping on the Gamecocks because Bentley has proven that he can connect with golf carts, not wide receivers. He won, of course, the Manning Passing Academy drill. That being said, I can't wait to watch Ryan Helinski ball. Many Clemson fans chiming in now, they think Tony Elliott leaves first. They think he leaves first, all right? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens here. Amber Lee tweets in that it's Brent Clemson is a top five job at this point. Not a lot of upward mobility even available for Dabo. And Amber Lee believes that if Nick Saban leaves Alabama, that Dabo will shortly follow, will be tugged by the alma mater to go there. Okay. Stephen A. Smith, I was proud of him yesterday. And I don't know what's going on in our society, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't. But doesn't it seem like kind of like, and I have to choose my words carefully here, but it seems like to me like we're in this place in society where everyone is divided and everyone is on their side, right? So, and this is what I believe to be true, okay? So I'm not, these are the beliefs of Mark Ryan and not necessarily the views of our station, right? But I believe Republicans are all, you know, gearing up and rallying the troops for Republicans, Democrats for Democrats, you know, and then you have the different races and minorities and so on and so forth. Everybody is in their camp as well, right? And I think it's unfortunate because we should all be able to see right and wrong. It shouldn't be about just rallying the troops for your side or your race or your gender or whatever. So be that as it may, I was pleasantly surprised the other day to hear Stephen A. Smith go in on the NBA getting rid of the term owner, right? Because Draymond Green began this campaign, said it reminded him of a slave owner, which is ridiculous because you're called an owner if you own the company, okay? You know, Entercom is the owner of this station building here. We shouldn't have to call them the governor of the station building here, which is what the NBA is doing. And like I said, I'm not used to seeing people that would normally be, you know, in our society, everyone seems to be sticking with quote unquote their side on every fight, on every debate. I was pleasantly surprised to hear Stephen A. Smith come out and say this.
The idiocy in this politically correct world that we're living in, where we gotta literally have a discussion to the point where it becomes a media storyline. Oh my God! An owner says he owns his team. That's offensive to people. Y'all smoking crack. Something is wrong with you people. What the hell has this world come to?
Love it. Lonzo, props to Stephen A. Smith, man. I mean, look, I didn't expect... I shouldn't even say I didn't expect to hear that from him, but we have so much pressure now on all of us in society. If you know, this is why I say politically, guys, I'm in the middle because I don't want anybody pulling me on either side. I'm in the middle on Clemson and South Carolina. I'm in the middle politically. I'm not going to let you pull me to one side. I'm not going to let you, you know, get me in one person's camp. That's not who I am. I've got my own beliefs, my own opinions. I will share them with you no matter what. But I think there's a lot of pressure on people to stay within their own lanes and stay within their own camps. And so if you're an African American, there's a lot of pressure on you to stick with the beliefs of, you know, of this campaign that the word owner is offensive. And it's just not. It's what somebody who owns a company is called. You know, that's what it is. It's not a white or a black thing. We've taken calls on this subject from African Americans who think it's nuts. Remember that, Lonzo? Who think this thing is nuts. But it surprised me because we don't often see in today's day and age with the pressure that's on everybody, people coming out of their lanes like Stephen A. Smith just did. And I commend him for that, man. It's awesome.
See, that doesn't surprise me about him because he's his own guy and he does his own thing. I had a discussion with my daughter just the other day. She's like, why do you like him? He's always so angry. It's like, he's not angry. He's just passionate. That's his delivery. And the guy, whether he's right or wrong, he comes out and says it and he doesn't care what anyone thinks. I like that.
I like it as well. I like it as well. But the NBA is still going away from the term owner. And whereas you might say, well, that's a minor thing in the grand scheme of things, it's minor, but it's not, Lonzo, because it opens the door for what else is going to offend you. Look at what we're doing now in this country. You know, we're taking down every statue of our history, okay? You know, so at some point, are they going to take down the statue of Dabo Swinney? Because Dabo Swinney coached in an era where LGBTQ was not, he did not have the rights that they wanted, right? I mean, so some of this stuff, I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous to you, but to me, removing every statue from our past is also ridiculous. To me, Colin Kaepernick being able to make Nike get rid of their 13-star American flag shoe when that, you know, the 13 original colonies, that's ridiculous to me. It's part of our history. You can't just say because some bad things happened in that period of time that we're going to wipe the slate clean of all of our history. You can't do that. There's bad things happening right now. 50 million Americans don't have health care right now. Okay, are we going to wipe the slate clean of everything that happens at this point in our history because bad things are happening right now? You can't do that, man. You can't do that. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I commend Stephen A. Smith for his stance. I really do, because there's a lot of pressure on him, given his skin color, not to come out and say that, to come out in support of it. But he thinks it's nuts, and I think it's nuts, and I think I love it. I love that he's not afraid to express his opinion. I really do. All right. Coming up next, we do a little ditty we call Either Or. We do it each and every day. Life and sports. It's coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, Lonzo, we do it each and every day. We call it Either Or. It's life and sports mixed together. Want to also invite you guys to submit your Either Ors. Any question that you would like. I'm thinking about doing kind of an Ask the Show segment coming up for football season where any question that you want, we will answer it. Kind of an Ask Mark Anything. I'm going to work with Lonzo on Ask Lonzo Anything. I don't know that we're yet at that point with Ask Lonzo Anything. Still a little bit restrictive with what he's willing to talk about. But you can ask me anything, and we'll get to it. Either Or applies to you as well. Love your participation in it. Each and every day, life and sports, Either Or begins right now. All right, Lonzo, here we go. Either Or number one. A buddy of mine was at a restaurant, and he posted this on social media, and the table next to him had Bluetooth speakers, all right? And they were blasting the Bluetooth speakers in the middle of a public restaurant, okay? Listening loud enough to where every table could hear it. Part of the problem with technology is now you get technology everywhere, even when you don't want technology everywhere. So you're out to dinner with the fam. Let's say, oh, tonight's pizza night. I haven't been invited. I can't believe that so far. Tonight's pizza night in the Lonzo household. But you're out for pizza. Let's say you're out for pizza. Dude has Bluetooth speakers. Everyone in the restaurant can hear his song. Are you the guy that gets up and says something to the dude? Or do you wait for the wait staff to do it?
I think really it depends on what song it is. I mean,
if you like the song,
yeah, if you like the song, you're fine with it.
You view it as a jukebox.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if dude's got a killer playlist, I'm not saying a word. But if he's playing something that's dropping F-bombs every few seconds at a family place, something like that, I'm probably going to go talk to the manager about it. Yes.
Lonzo, I am the guy 10 times out of 10 that talks to the guy in this scenario. And I go up to him with an expression that says, what the hell were you thinking? Like, I just... One of my biggest pet peeves is lack of self-awareness, right? Like I hate lack of self-awareness. You know, people that don't know when to stop talking, okay? People that don't understand how far away they're supposed to be from you when you talk, personal space, right? people that don't realize that it's freaking rude. People in my apartment complex that freaking bump their bass coming home at 3 a.m, right? Or the guy beneath me that has a motorcycle that thinks it's cool to rev that baby at 6:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Self-awareness. Have some have a degree of courteousness in you. Okay? Courteousness? Is that a word?
No.
Have a degree of courtesy.
There we go.
There you go. Courtesy. There we go. I'll get it right. One way or another. So anyway, I'm that guy. I'll go up to that guy because I don't understand that guy. And nothing browns my boxers more than somebody that lacks self-awareness and is rude in a situation like that. Come on, man.
Does size of the guy come into play? If dude's like 6'4 and 300 pounds, are you still going to go over and say something to him?
Absolutely not. At that point, I like his song choice, and I think he's picked a fantastic song.
This is proof of being self-aware.
I'm going to be jamming out to the song. Self-awareness is oh so very important. You know what else is important? Self-preservation. Okay? I'm down with it, Lonzo. What do you got?
All right, so if you are on our social media, you know that Mark Ryan will occasionally post a video. He's going to try to do it a little more often before the show. And I saw him doing this yesterday, and I photobombed him. Is photobombing onsides or offsides? Or is it situational?
Wait a minute. I haven't seen you in any photo. Oh, yes.
That's still photobombing. I didn't realize it's a video, but still.
You video bombed me yesterday when I was doing my little tease for the show. That's right. Okay. Lonzo, I have a story to tell you. Listen, mom and dad, if you're listening, please turn away from the speakers right now, okay? This is one of those things that you're not really pleased with about your son. I would go to parties at the University of Florida, Lonzo, okay? And this was when everybody had the photo albums on their coffee tables. And when I would go to parties at the University of Florida, people would say to me, man, where do I recognize you from? I can't figure it out, but I recognize you from somewhere. At every party, Lonzo, I would photobomb people's pictures with an obscene gesture. It's one of the most immature things I've ever done. There's multiple obscene gestures. I'm not going to tell you what it was other than to say it wasn't the bird, okay? There's multiple obscene gestures, and I started...
Do these have to do with your buttocks?
No.
Okay.
No, it was made with the...
So there was no mooning going
no,
on. Okay,
no,
I'm just
no,
checking.
It has to do with making your hand into a letter, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, you got me?
Yeah.
So, and I was doing this in everybody's party pictures, and I became notorious. Everybody recognized me, but they couldn't figure out where. And it became an inside joke, right? So, Lonzo, I'm going to say no, photobombing is not offsides because I am in photo albums throughout everyone's 90s at the University of Florida, throughout the 90s, making an obscene gesture. Hopefully, the statute of limitations on that has expired.
I salute you, sir. That is great.
What do you think?
I don't necessarily agree with the obscene gestures, but the fact that you were getting in it, I think that's awesome. And I have no problem with photobombing at all.
Okay. Yeah, that's a rough story for me. Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. I was immature, all right? The 19, 20-year-old
Mark.
Yeah,
he would never do it now.
19, 20-year-old Mark, I may or may not have just shown Lonzo what the obscene gesture was here in the studio here. Okay, Lonzo, it's been debated now, but the home run derby that you and I did not watch really blew up, went viral, was incredibly popular. And people are saying it is now the single best all-star game event, okay? So you look at all the all-star games. You got the Pro Bowl, NBA all-star game, NBA all-star game, MLB all-star game. You have the skills challenge in the NBA, the three-point shootout, the slam dunk contest. You got the skill challenge in hockey. You got the home run derby in Major League Baseball and a bunch of lame softball games that they play. What do you think? Home run derby, the single best all-star game event today, yay or nay?
I disagree. To me, it will always be the three-point shooting contest. I just think that's an amazing show of skill. And most times these are players you've never heard of. Now you got Steph Curry, you got Klay Thompson and those guys in there. But three-point will always be number one for me.
I've done the three-point shooting contest, Lonzo. Okay, I've done it. And I'll tell you, it's highly...
How many money balls did you sing?
It's highly unfair. Let me make an excuse for myself first. It's highly unfair because those guys get to practice that format over and over and over again. You don't realize, Lonzo, how much it screws you up that you don't get to see whether your ball goes in or not because you're bending over to get the next ball when it hits the rim. And so you'll take a shot that feels good. The ball will hit off the rim and it'll come right back at you. And then you're trying to adjust your shot in mid-flight. I did the three-point shooting contest, Lonzo. How many points did I score? I did it once.
I'm going to go with four.
Nine.
Good for
you. I scored 9 points the one time I did it. I'm a decent shooter, man. I can hold my own.
Well, I was just thinking of the pressure, you know, the pressure of timing and all that kind of stuff. I thought maybe it might have gotten to you a little bit.
I didn't finish. I got to the last rack. I got two balls down in the last rack. It's 60 seconds of the. It's fast and furious for 60 seconds. But I had three balls left to shoot. I didn't get to in time. You know, you don't realize how fast that time is going, man. So anyway, I'm going to say yes. The Home Run Derby is the best all-star event. It doesn't matter if it's mine or not. The three-point shooting contest is interesting. The slam dunk contest is dead. People are really into the Home Run Derby. So, yeah, I'm into it. What else you got, Lonzo?
All right. Since this is either or, I need some fashion help for next week.
Yeah, you do.
No, just for next week, just a certain day. Mark and I will be at ACC Media Days. This is the first time I've ever been on a radio row, and I'm kind of excited about that. Should I wear jeans, dress pants, or shorts? Which one? Because I know what shirt I'm wearing because I know what shirt I'm required to wear.
Okay. Jeans or shorts? I would go with jeans, Lonzo. Listen, you were going to be in the presence of head coaches here. Okay.
Well, which is why I was thinking of going dress pants, but I don't really have any that goes with that shirt. I mean, I just don't. So
I would go with khakis or jeans. I really would.
So and if you go khakis, do you have to wear dress shoes or can I, you know, wear the Converse?
No, you don't wear the Converse with the khakis, man. No,
this is
fashion help for you. Do you have any brown shiny shoes?
I haven't seen them. I have dress shoes. Yes.
I haven't seen them. I imagine you wear them to church from time to time.
I have dress shoes,
okay.
Yes.
No, I'm going to try to wear a nice pair of jeans, I think. Okay, but for you as producer, you gotta be business class.
No,
you gotta
go
khakis for sure.
If you're going, you're not wearing the red jeans, are you?
They're not red jeans, Lonzo.
Sorry,
red slacks.
Okay. Well,
they're red slacks.
They kind of stand out in those photos from that wedding. I'm just saying.
Let me tell you something. I have wedding photos from a wedding I attended last week, and I have gotten nothing but hate. From men about the red slacks
that
I wore.
Dude, that's the first thing I saw in that picture.
But
like,
let
really?
Me tell you this. I've gotten nothing but compliments from women on the red pants that I wore. And which opinion do you think matters more to me? Okay? What you think or what the women think.
It depends on if they think you're a possibility or that you're one of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, red slacks, kind of red slacks with a blue blazer. Is that offsides or onsides? Because I think it's stylish. And I was rocking the red pants in a major, major way. Okay? Lonzo, I got one more bonus one for you. Okay? Watching sporting events in our positions. Okay? You and me. Watching sporting events that you don't want to watch, but that you should have knowledge about for your job. Something we need to do or optional? What do you think?
For you, it's something that you need to do. For me, my name is not on the show. I'm just a producer.
No, wait just a minute here. It is absolutely you and I failed this week because neither one of us watched the Home Run Derby.
We could have cheated. It's real easy to watch the highlights and act like you watched
it. I did watch the highlights, but I also, what do I always say, Lonzo? Be honest with your audience.
You know, I didn't watch the highlights because I don't care. I'm sorry. Well, I don't like baseball.
Well,
I can't help it. And everyone knows I don't like baseball.
Here's the thing. The either or says, is it our responsibility to sometimes watch sporting events we don't want to watch? And the answer to that question is yes. It is. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. And we failed.
So I'm going to remind you of this. Next time we have a wrestling guest on, you should watch wrestling because you need to know about it for work.
That is absolutely false. There's nothing wrestling that I need to know for anything other than how to become a man by stop watching it, by ceasing watching that nonsense. All right, here we go. Coming up next, ESPN has released its most difficult schedules. I'll share with you where they're at next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right. So ESPN and their Football Power Index, they've released the 10 most difficult schedules in all of college football, counting down from 10 to 1, 10 LSU, 9 UCLA, 8 Oregon State, 7 Auburn, 6 Colorado. I don't like where my team is on this list, man. This is not a list you want to be on. 5 Georgia, 4 Stanford, 3 Florida, 2 the real USC, and then number 1 U of SC. I'm just kidding, South Carolina fans. All right, number 1 South Carolina, 2 USC, 3 Florida, 4 Stanford, 5 Georgia, the top 5 most difficult schedules in the country. Also, odds have been released to win conferences. And here's what gets me. Clemson should be 100% chance to win the ACC, but they're 1-4. What does that mean? That means that one time out of 5, Clemson would not win the ACC this year. 4 times they win it, 1 time they don't. Okay? 1-4, that's how you read those odds. If you see a smaller number next to a larger number, that means that's a really heavy favorite. A bigger number first is what you normally see. So Miami, this is a joke. Miami's a 7-1 favorite, 7-1 to win the ACC. They have no shot to win the ACC. Basically, what they're saying is Clemson has a 20% chance of losing the ACC championship game, and that's just not going to happen. Florida in the SEC is 14-1. Georgia is 5-2. Those are pretty good odds, but Alabama is 1-2. The odds saying that Alabama will win the SEC championship 2 out of 3 times. Clemson will win the ACC 4 out of 5 times. Other odds in the ACC, Florida State 20-1, Syracuse 20. These teams have no shot. Just remove the odds. They have no shot of winning here. Ohio State in the Big Ten, 11-10. Just a tick better than 50-50 shot, Lonzo, of winning the Big Ten. Michigan is 2nd at 9-4. 9 times they won't win it, 4 times they will out of 13. And in the Big 12, Oklahoma wins the Big 12 5 out of 9 times. Their odds are 4-5. Texas is number 2 at 3-1. Oklahoma State, I think, could be a contender for Brent Venables' services if they fire Mike Gundy. They're at 18-1. The top 3 at 3, presented by Moe's Southwest Grill, is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, only right here on ESPN Upstate.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.